Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kinda funny, I find it kinda sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very bad world.
The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. Welcome to Notes from the Front Lines, the podcast for the resistance by the resistance. Crazy times in the TCFFL these days. I'm here with one of, depending on your stance, one of the heroes or the villains of the league these days. I'm here with ex-TCFFL member, the first to take a formal stand against what's going on. I'm here with Jeff Spencer. Jeff, formal morals and ethics chairman, a champion with Tommy with So Close Quarters Football Club. And you quit today. How are you feeling? What's the feeling like in the Wasos camp right now?
Thanks for having me, Dennis. It's good to have some human interaction today. It's been a pretty tough day. In exile right now, as a matter of fact. Kind of bunkered up. I'm kind of worried about what tomorrow's going to bring. Just seen a lot of viciousness. When I tried to resign today, the SS was out. I saw flashlights looking in my window, and I don't feel safe right now. So I'm happy to get the word out, but if you don't hear from me again, you know, this was my last word.
I mean, we appreciate you being here. We know what a cost it is. I think, like, you know, it's easy to kind of overlook how serious it, you know, the situation is, but to bring it really home, I wanted to read you a few messages that have been sent since you left the GroupMe chat. And these are from former allies, friends, and, you know, what do you think about this? I know you're taking a noble stand on things you think are going on in the league, and I want your response when you hear these things. You know, what does that make you feel? So, the first quote from your ally, from founding father, Mike Lay, in one of, you know, 10 GroupMe messages he sent all year, said, "Childish behavior takes many forms as well. I'm sure we're all guilty and should take a look in the mirror and determine how we want this league defined moving forward. A clear shot at you and your exit from the GroupMe." Will Carriage, another ally occasionally of yours, said, "I'm sure slave owners were mad after the Emancipation Proclamation too. I think they quit the United States, if I'm not mistaken." What do you think when you hear rhetoric like that coming from former allies?
Oh, well, first of all, Mike Lay's sounds like the most politically correct jab I've ever heard in my life. I don't know even what he's saying there, but Will, not surprised, you know, guy's brash. Obviously cares more about himself and what he says than about the good of the league, the so-called participations are these days. You know, it's I kind of view it as something where I kind of liken me quitting today as a veteran retiring. And, you know, it'd be like going to give your teammates one last high five and all of them just, you know, not even raising their hand to shake your hand or give you a high five as you're just trying to say goodbye, you know. So it's depressing, but really not that unexpected.
It's tough. It's certainly tough. You know, and it was a shock. I think it was shockwaves through the air when you quit today or when you resigned. A lot of sort of what the press has taken to call the silent majority, I feel like, gained a lot of strength through what you did today. But I want you to talk me through why you felt the need to resign. Was it purely over the auction, which we're going to get to in a little bit? But just talk me through your thinking, why, you know, you felt now was the time to step aside, and what might bring you back in the fold moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what set it off today. I think it's been something boiling below the surface for a while. Obviously, you and I both know the, you know, injustices and level of baloney that's been going on the last 3 or 4 months here. I think today I was just kind of taking a step back, taking the 20,000 foot view of everything and saying, you know, how do we get to this point? Like, why are people pushing this auction so hard? You know, it's like there's two or three people that really want it and everyone else doesn't even know how the fuck to play it at this point. And I'm kind of just at that stage where I'm too old, I'm too weathered, too beaten down. You can't teach an old dog a new trick, as I like to say. And I just don't have the time, temperament, or passion to learn how to auction properly. And I just don't want to deal with the shenanigans that this league's become at this point. Like I said in my message, we used to be a bottom-up league of personalities, and now it's just become a top-down push for what the central administration wants to do, and I won't stand for it.
Well, you raise a lot of interesting points, and we're going to get to the confusion around the auction draft, certainly. But if you'll allow me to rant for a second, and then I'd like your thoughts on what I'm about to say, but let's get to the root of what's going on. I think now's a good time to do that. So the Lay report comes out in 2015, fall 2015. Kind of a bombshell. Shows that 50% of the league is responsible for 95% of participation. More importantly, Commissioner J.G. Thorington, way down the list. I think he comes in at 6 or 7 on the top participators list. So it's a clear sign that it's, you know, there's participation inequality. A lot of members of what I like to call the real TCFFL feel like the league's passed them by. They're not receiving their fair share compared to what they're putting in. And so, you know, these real league members, they're not feeling the benefits of current, let's call them recovery efforts. So, you know, maybe we can blame the Mike Lays, the Jay Andersons who aren't ever participating. You know, but maybe there's more to it. I don't know. And then people start looking for solutions. And our commissioner doesn't have the energy, certainly doesn't have the passion for solutions. So he falls back on rhetoric, you know, like, we're going to do this. I'm going to name a bottom three participators, my co-commissioner, as some kind of stunt. You know, so it's in this environment of participation equality that I think, you know, Commissioner Thorington has transitioned to Dictator Thorington and really come to power as a homegrown demagogue. So, you know, am I off base here? You know, what do you think? What do you think?
You sum that up so well, to be quite honest. I mean, that's a walk through history, if you ask me. But, you know, I kind of liken it to, like, you know, we've always joked about Dusty Care and, you know, Jinx Control, stuff like that. But if you really think about it, it is kind of, the auction draft is kind of like Obamacare, if you really look at the parallels, where, you know, an unpopular program maybe gets 51% of the vote. He slams it through, acts like it's a, you know, mandate that the rest of the country was all about when half the country's basically pissed off about it. And he says, you know what, let's just give it a shot, see how it goes. You're going to love it. You keep your health care if you want to. And then fast forward 2 or 3 years, and now Aetna, United Healthcare aren't in the Obamacare exchange, and we're heading down the road to socialized medicine at that point. So I think it was just a big coup to push out the people who will stand up to this sort of stuff, like myself. And it's an in for the MSUFFL. I'm seriously convinced that half this league will be consisting of MSUFFL members in about 2 or 3 years from now, because that's how this route's going. It's like, we're the United States of America. When did we want to become France? I just don't get it.
No, I mean, I don't think anyone can argue with anything you just said. It's a scary thought, but I think it's true. There was something you touched on, which is that the auction vote is JG's Obamacare. It's the big initiative of his time in office. And I think, you know, if Obamacare passed and then the senator who cast the deciding vote came back a day later and was like, wait a minute, what did we just vote on? I don't think it would have been such a victory for him. And that's basically what happened with Justin today, is when apparently Pinto, who cast the, you know, eighth and deciding vote in the thing, comes out against everything he voted for. And you got Loins, who is recommending we adopt rules we voted on 3 days ago. Like, it just doesn't sound like there's a very educated electorate. And do you think that cheapens the vote at all? Do you think, you know, it's underhanded, that there's shady things going on? I don't know. I mean, I as someone who, you know, was trying to be as unbiased as possible, it doesn't leave the greatest feeling in my heart that things are going fairly.
What was that? Was a famous Nancy Pelosi quote where it was something like, in order to see what's in the bill, you have to pass the bill, or something like that. Where she said, you know, I haven't even read it, but there's probably some good stuff in it, so let's just do it anyways. And I feel like that's been the, you know, approach of the administration is, you know, did they take the time to walk the members through the pros and the cons of auction draft? Did they bother to ask if anyone has ever done auction draft? Who's done it? Who hasn't? And, yeah, I mean, you look at people like Pinto, people like Loins, and even that text from Mike Lay where I can't get on GroupMe right now, but I bet if you go through the photos on there, you'll see the text that Justin posted from Mike where Mike basically said, if I remember correctly, you know, I vote against it, but I guess if you want me to vote for it, then I'll vote for it. So I guess that's a resounding yes in their eyes. So I don't know. I mean, it's just, it is probably the most poorly handled vote I've ever seen, and it just reflects how this administration wanted to pass it by any means necessary rather than focus on doing what's best for me.
I mean, yeah, I just don't think there's anything to add to something put that well. Even its supporters, I don't know how good they feel about the vote passing when it passed in such a manner.
Yeah, let me just also pull something up here. I mean, this is where the confusion also reigns from. I mean, gosh, I look at a text message from Weasley, Ron Weasley, Tom Aprick, happy birthday, by the way. He says, last Thursday, 1:04 p.m., vote no on auction. He sent that to me. Ooh. And what does Tome do? He votes yes for auction. How does that make any sense?
Right.
So was JG trying to reverse jinx the vote? Did he send out his goons and henchmen to create confusion? I mean, it almost sounds like a CIA operation in a third world country trying to mess up the, you know, popular vote or something like that.
Right. And I mean, in a league as full of trolls and reverse jinxes as ours, you know, unfortunately, just because it's such a polarized, you know, league right now, I have to believe the people up top knew what was happening. Like, Tome votes yes. All of a sudden, when the vote, you know, is about to pass, he starts telling people to vote no. Is it because people love going against what Tome wants? What was, like, you know, a little bit of reverse psychology? I don't know. I do agree it created unnecessary confusion.
Yeah, I think Tome, honestly, was probably the guy who created the vote counting machine, you know, with his algorithms and his computers and all that stuff. And he front-ran the vote. He probably saw there were a few no's coming in early, so he said, Jeff, vote no. We got this. And then he saw a slew of yeses come in, so that swayed his vote. So he must have just kind of saw what was coming in at that point. And, you know, that also raises some red flags. I mean, did JG have the Koch brother voting machines counting the ballots in this case? I don't really get that either. Can't really trust anything.
You're right. I mean, it's sad that, you know, we get yelled at. I think those, you know, I think among us, you know, we consider ourselves constitutional conservatives. We want to go by the letter of the law that was written on the TCFFL website. And, you know, we're getting yelled at, like, oh, we already voted once. We already voted twice. Well, you know, I'm sorry it's inconvenient that democracy needs to be carried out, but sometimes democracy's, you know, inconvenient. So, you know, it's like, at this point, I'm scared of what would be said to me, be said about me in the press if I suggested another vote. So, you know, I think you make a lot of good points, and you know, it's scary what the majority is able to do, or not even the majority, but just the loudest megaphones in the league, what they're able to do when you go against what they want.
Yeah, you know, it feels like, you know, as a founding father, I try to put take myself out of my current pleated pants and put myself into the lobster back coats of the, was it the lobster backs? But anyways, I try to put myself in the shoes of the founding fathers of old, you know, and I just wonder, you know, what would they have done if democracy was going tough at first? Do you think they would have just said, you know what, you know, we're not having enough participation in this Revolutionary War, we should probably just cave in and do something different to get participation up. Do you think that that was their approach? Or do they say, you know what, we're going to stick to this little piece of paper called the Constitution, and we're going to live by that? What do you think they would have done back then?
Right. I mean, it almost is too sad to think about. Okay, so, you know, I was wondering, do I release this bombshell? Do I hold it back because it's not really helping anything? But you're right, and the Constitution is all we've got, and we have to live by that law. So, you know, I was surfing the Constitution today, as I do on a daily basis, and what did I see there? But, you know, the rules had already been changed to the keeper format, the auction format. And also written in the Constitution was that each team shall be allowed to keep up to 3 players each year, as if written in our Constitution, as if this was already just something that our commissioner expected or knew he would get passed. It was a hard moment for me. I'm almost out of words to see such a sacred document desecrated in that way, and I didn't know, was it worth it to even bring it up, but my passions have got the best of me tonight.
God, that only validates what I did today. I mean, honestly, JG, who you had to drag kicking and screaming to write an email longer than one sentence for the last 2 months, the second that he gets 80% of the votes in for number of keepers updates the Constitution. How does that make any sense?
I wish I had an answer for you. While we're on the topic, let's talk about a couple other blights or check marks or whatever you want to call them on JG's record of the past month.
Fat warts.
As commissioner, I don't think that's unfair to say. So not only does either he lose the votes from our first auction vote, or they never existed, we never really got resolution on that, yeah. But sadly we can't talk about that because there's so many other scandals to get to, we'd be here all night if we talked about that one.
He deletes their text messages after like 30 days,
right? Yeah, I mean, let's tack this on to the next one. He deletes 5 years of GroupMe participation records, knowing the lay report for this year was coming out, which would have surely damned him as probably a bottom 9 participator, even though he was bottom 7 the year before. I mean, what does this say? A guy who's just so willy-nilly with the league's records and with its history. Like, what is... I don't know. How does that make you feel as someone who cares so much about the TCFFL?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the epitome. What's the thing you do?
Sorry, after the epitome, we lost you a little bit, and I don't want to miss a word of what you said, so...
Oh, sorry.
Nope, yeah, we got you again.
Okay, yeah, down in the dungeon here. Gets a little spotty, but, yeah, I mean, that's the epitome of JG, or Crooked JG. You know, what does he do? First sign of trouble, he tries to shred the evidence, tries to delete emails, tries to, you know, off people that may know something. And I think that was a really dark day where I kind of blame Rob for being lazy. You know, he's sitting there in the country club every day,
sure,
drinking on pina colada. And I said, Rob, put this report out. And he says, no, I got this. Just wait until September. And that's like the FBI letting a key witness go on a vacation in the South Pacific and losing track of or something like that to me. But anyways, yeah, Crooked JG, lock him up. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. I mean, Lemonade Lay, as I think a lot of us have taken a call him, because he's, you know, sipping on his Virgin Arnold Palmer from this third floor penthouse where he watches the people work on his place. Yes, it would have been nice if he put his report out earlier, but think about everything we're missing because he deleted those records. Was there actually some kind of a vote? Probably not, but any evidence of that's definitely gone now, originally. you know, he's claiming Jay is a changed man. I would have loved to have records from the past years to see Jay's 5 August messages each year before he disappears. It's a shame. I mean, it's if you don't have history, you know, who are you? Like, if someone on the street says, how long's your league been in existence? And I say, you know, 7, 8 years, how do I prove it to him at this point? I don't know. It's a sad day.
I don't know. It's just the general policy where it's like the shoot first, aim second mentality of this administration. Mm. And then there's just this whole qualitative, opinion casting that's been very prevalent lately. Like, take, for example, quote-unquote participation czar Will Carriage saying, Pinnell and Loins' votes don't count because they don't participate. Well, I guess Jay's does because he sent a couple emails saying that we're doing the draft in Key West.
Right.
This is ridiculous. Most outrageous suggestion probably in TCFFL history. I think that that's ironic that, number one, there's unelected officials becoming czars, which are communist Russian origin leaders at that point, but secondly, that there's just no participation. They're squashing participation, if anything. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm rambling a little bit here, but I'm kind of wound up.
No, I mean, I can hear the passion in your voice, and it's appreciated, because damn it, if it's not time for someone to feel passionate about this league. But you raise a great point, and I want to move on to that. A lot of people, you know, JG released a big, you know, policy statement today claiming he's naming new administrative officials, and it was a farce. As an unbiased observer, I don't think anyone would call it anything short of a farce. This is a guy who is naming as co-commissioner, and for all we know, he seems very serious. Naming a co-commissioner whose only contribution to the league is telling us to come draft in Key West because he'll fund it with brownie points he's going to earn from one trip on an airline. I mean, this isn't a serious leader, and JG's ready to give him half control of the league. I mean, he's naming Will participation czar with no oversight. I mean, I can't even get into the co-commissioner thing. There's no words for it. I mean, what does this say to you? Does it say he's heading for the exits and he wants the league to be over? Or does it say that his judgment is just that bad, that he thinks these guys could actually lead this league?
Yeah, I think there's a massive Trump parallel when you really look at these sort of decisions being made where, you know, I think JG throughout the auction vote, kind of like Trump ran for the Republican primary, just saying, hey, I'm going to give it a shot. I probably won't get it, but what the hell? I'm been approaching either way. And somehow, by some miracle, it passes. And, you know, it's showing that he's not prepared to lead in this new era. And just like Trump is showing that he's not prepared to run a serious campaign. I mean, you have Ivanka Trump, a.k.a. Jason Anderson, getting up there and giving his policy speech where, you know, she copies number one Michelle Obama's speech and you can't understand half of what she's saying. And she looks like a supermodel bimbo up there. And that kind of just reminds me of Jason being named co-commissioner where, you know, it's cute. It's, you know, he's a great guy, but let's be serious here. He's not first lady material, so to speak. And then you have, you know, attack dog carriage, you know, participations are where those are all of, you know, the locker up cronies that are backing Trump, you know, left, right, and sideways, his attack dogs. And then the rest of it's just, it's like the never Trump crowd, like Marco Rubio Lay, where he says, never auction until, oh, you know, Trump gets the nod. And then he says, we need this guy to win, aka we need an auction draft. So, I don't know, there's just a lot of parallels, and that just shows you how ridiculous this whole thing is.
No, I mean, I think that's it's scary how true it is. I definitely got a lot of almost Chris Christie vibes from Will's participation czar email. Yeah. It was scary.
I was missing that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Very authoritative, and like, you know, if it was a total email that was all about law and order, but the guidelines for law and order seem to be, are you on Will's good side today or not? You know, like, Am I going to be participation probation in the next day if I don't do what he wants? So it was a scary email, I think, for a lot of us to read.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I can only imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't good. So it was around that time, I think. I wanna pull up your resignation email. Because there's a lot of truth in it. There's a lot of insight in it. So you said it's not a bottom-up collection of personalities anymore. The TCFFL, sorry. It's not a bottom-up collection of personalities anymore, but rather a top-down push of do this or else fear-mongering that has crushed the souls of people like myself. Now, maybe the most eloquent way I could ever imagine putting this issue, but I want to hear your thoughts on the fact that, you know, it sure seems to seem like the Thorntons and Will are the ones who benefit most from what we're doing. You know, you can trade things this year for assets next year. Seems to be a perfect way for the Thorntons to trade off the trophy each year. So if you could expand, I know it took a lot out of you to write the email, but in any way you can expand on what you meant, I think would be really helpful for us.
Yeah, I meant like, you know, the great thing about this league was like, you know, that we were just people getting together and drafting. Each person kind of had their history, right? Where Loins was always good for the most random, like, second round pick of all time. And Rob was, you know, for sure going to panic with his first round pick. And we all knew Will was going to get the first pick overall regardless. I mean, think of all those great memories that have just been pissed away, burnt up, and then thrown in the garbage. That's what this one auction thing. Now we're going to have to go back and recreate memories, or recreate new memories, I should say. And I just feel like it's just this thing that was pushed for whatever reason, and people kind of just went along with it because they had no other reason to say no. Because this culture of just fear-mongering and Big Brother and government propaganda that has crushed the individualism of this league.
I mean, I hear the despair in your voice, and it kills me, because I know you care so much about this league.
I just want to add one thing to your point about the cronyism, like the Thornton Goon Squad. I sent an email or a text to everyone in the TCFFL sans Pinto today after my resignation, and believe me, I got a lot of people saying, gosh, you know, we hope you don't leave, we really need you, blah, blah, blah. But here's the responses from Dylan. Good riddance.
Oh.
The response from Josh. Good riddance.
Oh.
The response from Will. You are the world's biggest baby. You deserve a rest stop off of I-80 in Iowa, right next to the world's biggest ball of yarn.
Oh.
That's the sort of stuff this league's become is, you know, they step on you, they piss on you, and then take a shit on your face when you're down at that point.
I'm almost speechless. Like, I think that's what hurts me the most, is that dialogue has been lost this year. Like, anyone who wants to not even go against the grain, but just open up a conversation, ask a question of, hey, why are we doing this? Like, it just there just seems to be no place for it anymore in this league. It's scary, you know, like you get yelled at for proposing, I guess, a third vote when really you don't remember the first two ever happening. There's no evidence they ever happened. It's a scary time for this league. I'm not sure, you know, if we'll be talking in 2 years, if this will exist.
Yeah, I mean, just think of the question you asked in the email chain today where you're like, how does this work with free agency? And everyone's like, God, you fucking idiot.
Oh, yeah.
Learn the rules.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I just think like in 3 years' time, when I talk about, or when people talk about me, they're going to be like, yeah, that Jeff Spencer, you know, I used to play fantasy football with that guy. That's how they're going to describe me. Like, nothing beyond that.
They may also describe you as the guy that saved the league. Because it's a scary time. I got to say, is the last point. I didn't want to get on my soapbox. I consider myself an unbiased observer, but I do wonder at times if all the confusion that JG, it seems, inadvertently created was actually on purpose. Because am I wrong to say by the time we actually did the official vote, no one knew what the hell we were voting for? They didn't know what auction meant. Like, there was nothing defined about what we were voting for. And then the keeper somehow got rolled into that. It's like when, you know, they put money into the perverted arts into a healthcare bill in Congress to make sure they both pass. But I just, yeah. by the time the thing passed, I had no idea what that meant for the league. I don't know. I don't even have a question. I just want to hear what you think, if I'm crazy here.
No, you make great points, and just let's deconstruct that and break it down, you know, piece by piece, where, you know, think of how the mechanism of the vote counting took place. Didn't Justin send out an individual text to everyone where it said, vote yes or no?
Right.
So no one, like, why didn't we do a group chat? Why didn't we do a Gmail response, right, where everyone could see what everyone was voting?
Right.
And I guess maybe there's the idea that, yeah, you don't want opinion swayed, blah, 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 but we're dealing with someone who couldn't produce votes in a previous vote count. So I would say that the voting integrity is the bigger question than the influence of seeing votes come in. And then, yeah, you know, like, we see the votes, like, coming in on, like, some Apple Notes page, like it's a kid recruiting or kid committing to the University of Michigan or something like that on there. And I don't think it was done professionally. I don't think it was done right. I think it was done for the convenience of getting what they wanted to do done at that point. Create confusion, make everyone guess what's going on, and then just say, oh, you know, the votes are coming in. It's not looking good for you people who voted no. And then that just sways the final few couple of votes their way.
Sure. And I mean, I think even some of the screenshots we saw scared me. Because it wasn't, what do you vote, yes or no? It was, hey, do you want to do an auction this year? And you're talking to uninformed voters like, you know, Pinto, like, you know, even Josh at this point, who hasn't participated in a year. Like, they don't know what they don't know they're voting. You're just, seems like you're asking their opinion. It just seems so disingenuous to me that it was a new side of the commissioner that really scared me.
I mean, think of the Thorntons, too, how often they get into each other's emails. And, like, you know, where it's like, can you really say that each person voted that way? I don't know. Not to throw another conspiracy theory, but there's just a lot of red flags.
Yeah, I would say it looks like a Chinese golf course. There's that many red flags. So I guess I have just a couple wrap-up questions. I'm emotionally drained. I think you are. We care so much, and it's hard being in this situation, but
yeah.
Is there anything...
Try telling your kids before they went to bed tonight that Daddy is no longer in the TCFFL anymore. I mean, could you imagine seeing Braden and Kaysen's face when Daddy had to drop that bomb?
Well, I mean, it's hard. I know when I gave you a call tonight to start the podcast and you said I can't do it, I heard in the background a little voice, couldn't have been older than 2 years old, say, "Mommy, why is Daddy crying?" And it broke my heart to hear it. I didn't want to even bring it up because I knew how private a moment that was for you and your family. But
yeah.
I mean,
I appreciate that.
These things are having repercussions that are being done.
Yeah, I know.
So with that in mind, I mean, what needs to happen for you to come back? What needs to happen? Because everyone wants you back. There's obviously the naysayers, but they naysay. So what needs to happen to get you to come back?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, I'm committed to staying out of the TCFFL. I'm looking forward to time spending it with my kids, you know, getting more family time. Getting to rediscover myself, honestly. I feel like my identity was getting too closely tied and too emotionally drained from the day-to-day of this league. So I'm just looking forward to being me moving forward. And, you know, if a time comes where the league comes back to me, it will find me. But right now it has left me, and I'm just not ready to go back to it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say to that because I hate the answer, but it makes so much sense to me that it hurts. I can't even argue with it.
It's like I said earlier, I mean, the TCFFL, I didn't leave the TCFFL, the TCFFL left me.
I don't know how anyone could argue that. I don't know. Jeff, we appreciate your time. I think,
I'll be pulling for you. BIAs have always been my team that I admire the most, so I look forward to seeing your progress this year.
We appreciate it. This has been Notes from the Front Lines. We hope things get better, guys. Thank you, Jeff.
Bye. So pure and true.